And I've heard ones that when you're writing code and you have to switch contexts, they'll take like 20 minutes before you get back into your actually coding the way that you were before.
Hello, I'm Alexander Zwart, and in this podcast, I delve into the IT universe of Rabobank. Every day, 10,000 dedicated engineers across the globe work tirelessly to provide top-notch online solutions for our customers and colleagues. Their commitment to excellence knows no bounds, and their shared goal is to add value and thrive in their roles. At Rabobank, we recognize that engineers are the heart of innovation. That's why we've made it our mission to enhance their happiness and their effectiveness. In this episode, we take a deep dive into the Engineers Hub, a powerful portal designed to streamline workflows, eliminate context switching, and empower engineers to do their best work. Join us as we explore how this platform accelerates productivity, simplifies tasks, and fosters a community of passionate engineers. So welcome. Today I'm here with two engineering colleagues, Jaap and Sridhar. And maybe Sridhar, I can start with you because you have been working as a software engineer, but now as a solution architect, can you maybe explain what that's like to be a solution architect in the team?
Alexander. I'm Sridhar Nanasekaran. I'm a solution architect at Rabobank. Yeah, indeed, I was an engineer at Rabobank for some time, actually quite some time. And then I chose my next career path as a solution architect. What we do basically as a solution architect, we think about the vision of the product we want, right? So together with the product owner, we get ideas from, you know, inside the team or outside the team, and then we look into the idea and see how to turn it into a feature within our product, and then create a solution for it, lay down the solution to the team so that, you know, they can know what they are going to build. So we discuss mostly about what, why it's needed, and then the team decides how to do it and, you know, how to implement it basically. So we discuss with the team, and the team decides how to build the feature, right? So they think about how to, and that's where the solution architect job stops. And we mostly focus on the vision and the roadmap together with the product owners.
Nice. And you do that for the engineers hub. What's the engineers hub then?
Engineers hub, it's basically a platform for our engineers. It's a developer portal. And where we try to, you know, get all the stuff needed for the engineers in one place. So you can think of, applications, squads, finding a squad, or onboarding journey, or documentation. It contains a lot of features. Maybe we will dive into the details as we go. And my role is within Engineers Hub, we have multiple components. We have a backstage platform, and then we also have a data platform. The backstage platform is basically the UI, the portal itself. And then the data platform is the one where we try to get all the data needed for Engineers Hub. So that's the responsibility of me.
Nice. And Jaap, you're the product owner of the Engineers Hub. Am I correct?
Correct, yeah.
Last time I talked to two colleagues who work on our banking app. And I think for a lot of people, that's very clear what it is, because they use it on a daily basis. But what's an Engineers Hub? Can you maybe elaborate a little bit? What do we try to solve with it?
Definitely. So our area is called Engineering Journey. And that sort of explains our purpose as well. The same purpose goes for the Engineers Hub, which is making the lives of engineers easier. So there's a lot of stuff that you need to do as an engineer, right? You have to go through compliancy stuff and risk. You have to check your risk. You have to write code. You have to write documentation. You're working with people. All those things are sort of taking you away from the thing that you should be doing, which is writing code. You're constantly context switching when you have to go to compliancy or something else. And I've heard ones that when you're writing code and you have to switch context, they'll take like 20 minutes before you get back into your actually coding the way that you were before. And we're trying to prevent that by putting all the things that an engineer could possibly want or need in their day-to-day in a portal called Engineers Hub. And that's what the product is.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. To add to this, I have been an engineer also, you know, back then, right?
Yeah. So you know what it's like to
exactly,
have this. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, because I worked for Rabobank 17 years, so it's a long time already. And I started as an engineer before I became a solution architect. And one of the things at Rabobank is, you know, it's a bank, so you know we have to adhere to some compliance. You know, it's needed. And what happens generally is, you know, there will be an Excel or something given to a team, and they will be asked to check, you know, if we are compliant with this and that, and you know.
Oh, so you get the Excel spreadsheet, you have to tick all the boxes.
Exactly. You know, and then this can sometimes frustrate the engineers, right? Because most of the engineers, you know, they want to add value to the customers. You know, they always think about the product, and they do find the responsibility to, you know, make it secure and, you know, compliant. But sometimes it's too much because also the way we do certain things, right? So, and that's something we would like to solve with engineers to make it easier for the engineers, like you have mentioned. But not only that, you know, not only showing them what's the problem, like, you know, what's wrong, but also provide them what's the action to be taken, how to help them basically. Because one of the problem I had with as an engineer is, a challenge I had with as an engineer is, we know this is not compliant, but we don't know what to do. How to solve this, right?
Yeah.
And we have to go around and ask. And I'm pretty sure every team, every area, every tribe does it differently. And we would like to bring some standard as well to make it, you know, one way for as possible as, you know, as much for all the tribe, area and squads to make it easier for them to be compliant and, you know. And of course, this one thing within Engineer Sub, right? Engineer Sub also offers much more, like we also have something called as a squad search. So you can go and find your squads, you can find your applications. There are much more within Engineer Subs. Again, all this is to make our engineers' life easier.
Yeah, so finding stuff is really important,
yeah.
You know, because when you enter this bank, there's so many IT applications and stuff that you don't know about. And to find out how things work at Rabobank, it can take a long time.
Yep.
Our onboarding process, it used to be pretty long, several months actually.
And with onboarding, you mean just get to know everything you need to know
exactly.
To do your job. Yeah,
I'm not talking about onboarding like, okay, now you have an ID or something, but more like, okay, get up to speed. Where do you have to go to do your actual work? So, and that can take a long time, and we're trying to minimize that time. For example, by a feature in this hub called engineering onboarding.
Yep.
So there's like a list of onboarding steps that you can go through. And once you have done all these steps, you're basically ready to do your job.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. We use Confluence for our documentation.
Yeah.
So you can go and search for onboarding within Confluence, and you will get like thousands of hits.
Yeah. Then you don't know what is the right
exactly,
onboarding document.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also every team try to invent their own onboarding process as well. I mean, of course, every team will also have some extra stuff on, you know, with the basic.
For their own team, which is specific.
Exactly,
yeah.
For their own application and stuff. But still, the basic should be, you know, at least common for all the teams, right? So the onboarding feature within Engineer Sub that helps our engineers, you know, to go through the checklist, which also provides the information how to be onboarded. It's not just, you know.
And also what you're actually doing. So it will explain, like, we have this thing called the banker's oath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it will also link to documentation and movies about what that actually is. So it's not just a checklist that you're going through. It's explaining the whys as well.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's really nice. Yeah, and maybe because I can imagine that not all listeners know that, but we have 1,000 squads within the bank. Yeah? So just knowing what team does what is already pretty difficult,
yeah.
I would
definitely
guess. Are you helping also out with that, or?
Like I mentioned, we used to have a application called Squad Finder, but it's a community based effort.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really a structured one. So everyone has to go and, you know, fill the information of the team and. But we already saw a lot of benefits with that, right? Because like I said, when I was an engineer, I see there's a service which I want to consume, but then I don't know whom to contact, how to reach out to a particular team.
Yeah, so there was not really one owner for the squad finder.
Also that, exactly. And trying to find information, who owns a service, or who is the PO of a particular squad, and who is a solution architect for a particular squad. it's always challenging, right? And with the Squad Finder, which is now part of Engineers Hub, you can just look for an application and then you can find which squad owns that application. Or the other way around, you can look for a squad and you can look for all the applications owned by the squad and all the members of the squad and the solution architect, the product owners, the scrum masters, the functional mailbox, the team channel.
Oh, that's cool.
Also, if they are part of some communities, the community channel. So you get all this information at one place within the squad admin within Engineers Hub.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
There's
great.
Also some cool features coming up in that squad administration tool. One of them being an AI search,
yep,
where you can, search for an application or a service and through a chatbot, which is very new.
Yep.
And we're experimenting with that. That's really cool.
Yeah. It's
so you can basically just ask questions and then...
Yeah. Before we go...
Yeah, that's like, it's a little bit futuristic, but still that is coming.
Yeah, that is coming indeed. But right now it's just a simple POC with a small set of data.
Yeah, and a POC, I mean, just for the list, that's a proof of concept. Yeah, exactly. That's the Rabo slang, maybe.
Of course.
Yeah.
A POC, a proof of concept, a team did to look for some, the Azure services, which is used by a lot of squads, and they did with AI, indeed. But the vision of Engineers Hub is also to have an interactive search. So you can, when I say interactive search, you can go to the search and you can ask, which team this guy belongs to.
Oh, nice.
This person exactly. belongs to. And then it will list out this squad, person belongs to, which applications this squad owns. You can ask all these type of questions.
Next to the navigation, you also just do...
Exactly.
You'll have an interactive interface where you can just ask questions and it will come up with answers. And we can go a long way with that.
Yeah.
I mean, it will start with providing information, but at some point I can imagine that this AI can also provide stuff for you. Like if you want to spin up a virtual machine... And you ask the AI, okay, just give me a virtual machine. Then it just asks you some questions and it will spin it up for you. You know, so automation is going to be a big part of AI as well in the hub. So,
nice. Yeah. And because you're a product owner, we just talked about what the solution architect does, but what's the role of a product owner then in the Engineers Hub?
So product owner is...
Make a solution architect's life difficult?
I don't agree at all.
Okay.
So product owner, I'll stick to the story that I always tell my dad, who is 78 years old. He knows nothing of IT. So when he asked me, what is it you actually do? Up, I have to explain to him what I do. So I always compare it to like a front worker in construction. Like I read the plans from the architect. I listen to the people who want to build a house. How do you want it? Where's the windows? What kind of colors? Stuff like that. And then I go to the guys that are actually building it. And I say, okay, I have this plan here. And let's start building it. And that's sort of what a product owner does. So I prepare the work for my engineers to start building it. And in the meantime, I do a lot of stakeholder management. So I talk to the people who are actually using the product. In our case, these are the actual engineers.
Yeah.
But also... management and people outside of the IT departments as well. So
and how do you then, because if you talk, they probably have all kind of great ideas. How do you then prioritize? How do you make a selection? Because a team can only work on one thing at a time or maybe two things. But
yeah, this is true. So this is why we have a vision. And also from a tribe perspective and an area perspective, we get these guidelines on what's important. I try to give focus on those points which are considered to be important within our area. So the other part is also sometimes it's who screams the hardest, which little duckling opens his mouth the widest, but it's up to me to prioritize. And every product owner has its own style, but I usually keep my stakeholders pretty happy. So it's always about being honest as well.
Yep.
So if someone comes to me and says, hey, I really want this feature, but my agenda is full or I don't think it should be top priority, I'm also comfortable to tell someone this is cool and I'm going to put it somewhere out there on the backlog, but it will be like next year or something.
Yeah.
That happens. And as long as you're honest about this, usually stakeholders just take that for granted.
Yeah, saying no is probably just as important as saying yes to some ideas.
Definitely, yeah.
And Sridhar, how do you think about it? Because solution architect is also, I assume, also thinking sometimes about, do we have to build it ourselves or do we work with external vendors? How do you take those considerations?
Yeah, it's always hard, right, to make these choices. But for example, we can take EngineerServ, again. For EngineerServ, we did a lot of research. For example, we looked into a lot of vendors, and EngineerServ is basically an internal developer platform, right? Where it's a developer portal basically, and it's an emerging technology within our industry. So we looked into our vendors, but they're also only trying out things now. They're
basically learning themselves how to do this. Yeah,
exactly. So we thought about that, and then we decided, to go for an hybrid solution. So it's not like we will build it ourselves, but rather we will use an open source solution. And in this case, we decided to use Backstage. Backstage is a developer platform built by Spotify. While you are listening in Spotify, It's a very nice platform, basically. They provide us a core functionality, the core platform, and we can build things on top of it. So we don't have to start from the scratch, but we almost have everything there, and we have the maximum flexibility that we can write our own custom plugins, which is actually a feature on top of the platform. Like we are talking about Squad, and we are talking about applications, interactive search. So you can see all these things as a separate feature, a separate plugin, and we can build this on top of the platform. So that's why I see it as an hybrid solution that, we don't have to start from scratch. But of course, we have to do some, we have to build some things ourselves.
I'd like to add something, because it's an open source solution by Spotify. We're also able to contribute to, let's say, the community for Backstage. So if we build something that is not proprietary or Rabobank specific, we can share it with them, and then they can use plugins that we've built.
Yeah, that's what I want to ask. So we are also active in the community.
We are contributors also for Backstage. So we also try to attend the Backstage conference. Backstage started hosting the yearly conferences, so we attended our first conference in France, and we are trying to also, we have a continuous relationship with the Backstage team, right, within their Discord channels, where we chat, where we can chat with each other. So the team who is responsible for the Backstage platform, they continuously try to reach out to the developers of Backstage, and then see if we see some issues or something, and then how we can contribute back to the community. So that's all also happening, and so in this case, of course, this seems to be a best fit for now, but eventually maybe in future, based on like I said, it's an emerging technology, right?
Yeah.
And maybe it can get matured, and then maybe we have to revisit about our vendors and see if there is something better than what we have now. But that's not for
Let's not jump to those conclusions yet, because I really love Backstage.
All right, okay.
And
okay.
I also love Spotify. I mean, the fact that they developed this for themselves, because they were growing very rapidly, right? They were growing so fast that they struggled with the same things that we are struggling with.
Absolutely.
Where to find stuff, how to do things. So they developed this for themselves, and then decided, okay, this is so cool, let's share it with the rest of the world. And so now we're using that as well, and we're giving back to Spotify, which I think is really cool. So
yeah, it's nice. And how do you know, because we talked about prioritizing the backlog, so how do you know that something is good for the engineers, when you put it on the backlog? Do you test that with them,
So there's a couple of things. I've been an engineer myself as well, so I sort of have the presumption that I know what they want. I felt their pain, as you say. So, but we're also doing research. We have a design chapter which is working together with us, and whenever we want to do something different than what we were doing before, we'll have them do like surveys or interviews, and then they sometimes come up with a plan. Let's say a certain click path is not logical because the engineers can't find stuff in the hub right now. Then they just come back to us and say, okay, we need to change this. We need to change the interface, or we need to change the click path. So we're doing
research. We do that the same way we do that for our customers in the banking app. We also do.
It's the same, but now we're using internal employees as our testers.
Nice. So how does the feedback then work? Because you can test it up front, but then you roll it out. And how that does that then function?
Yeah, I mean, it's a challenging thing, right? Because, you know, being myself as an engineer, engineers can be cynical, you know. So they always give this feedback, right? And we cannot satisfy all the engineers, you know. Somewhere we have to...
They're like customers, eh?
Yeah, exactly. So we have to compensate. And so we have this big community, and we also hear a lot of conferences and talk shows, and people try to join and then share their feedback. So we try to see through their feedback, right? We try to, Yop mentioned, we conduct surveys, and based on the surveys, we collect all this information and then see what's the best fit for our engineers, you know, or what should we do for them. So we're constantly looking into that and all these things takes time, right? Because we can't wait for our customer feedbacks to build something. So we have to build something. So we have to start with something. So we put things out there with our design, you know, whatever we come up with our design. And then we try to get more feedbacks from our engineers and try to improve from there.
And you also work, well, it's already visible with the two of you. You have different nationalities in the team. What is that like to work with people with different backgrounds in different countries?
It's for me, it's interesting, very interesting. I mean, our area has a lot of nationalities, mm-hmm. right? We have a lot of people from India.
Yeah.
We have people from South Africa working for us, Turkey, Romania, even Ukraine, maybe. And so a lot of nationalities, which is very interesting for me because, I'm Dutch, so I do things the Dutch way. I'm very direct. I'm into results, you know, and when something goes bad, I'm usually the first one to say, this is not good. Let's change this. Let's do it differently. But there's cultural differences. My team is solely from India, and I sort of try to warn them up front when hiring them. Hey guys, we're gonna have cultural clashes probably, but are you okay with this? I actually ask this question when interviewing them, when hiring them. Are you okay with this? Are you okay with me being very direct? Don't take it personal. This is just the way we do things. And I'll try to sort of, take it slow a little bit. But they all said, yeah, I like it. I like the openness. I like the directness. And actually, I can see already my team's been working for like 2 months now that they're slowly turning into also being open and direct more themselves. So they provide direct feedback when something goes wrong or when I take a wrong decision, which is great. So we're definitely growing towards each other there. And I'm learning a lot as well, maybe being a little bit more diplomatic at times. So,
yeah, that's what we as Dutch have to learn. I was in Chennai, I was really impressed with some of the teams who already work for us for years and years, and they know so much about our banking app, which I didn't even know myself. That was really nice.
I can relate to it, right? Maybe I can share one of my experience when I came to Netherlands.
Yeah.
So I'm also from Chennai, I came to Netherlands in 2011, I think it was my second day in Netherlands, also at a Rabobank when I started. I was in a meeting and I said something. There was a proposal from the manager. Can we do this? And I was like against it, like, no, that's not possible for so and so reason. And he said, okay, you know what, we have to talk later, right? I'm like, okay, here it goes again. maybe it's not so good to be so direct. But the manager was really very happy, right? He said, oh man, this is good. You know, keep doing this. Keep be honest. You know, if something is not possible, let us know. Yeah. You know, be direct, right? So I was a bit surprised because in India, at least the place I come from, it's a bit different. We try to give our elders a lot of respect.
Yeah.
And we always try to, please people. You know, that's our nature. At least the place I come from. When the manager said, I was like, oh man, this is my place, right? I'm the right place. And from then, you know, Maybe sometimes some of my colleagues, they tell me I'm too Dutch.
But I can imagine because you're working for such a long time. What do you feel, more Indian or more Dutch?
Yeah, I mean, I, I think it's a mix, right? Both good and bad.
Yeah.
So I try to take the good from both things, right?
With culture,
exactly. And with the Dutch, I like the directness, right? Sometimes I feel I can be rude being direct. I think the Dutch does it better than me, not being rude but still being direct. I try to learn that, how to do that. But at the same time, I also like to have this personal touch, like with family. When I say family, for example, here in the Netherlands, sometimes it's weird for me to hear you have to make an appointment to visit
your parents.
You have to make an appointment. What?
Yeah.
For us, it's just like, you go knock the door and then, go inside, right?
Yeah.
I like to keep that part,
Yeah, I can imagine.
The Indian tradition, because close to your family, I think that's something I like, and I would like to keep the directness which Dutch has, right? So it's a mix of both.
Yeah, no, that's clear. I think we can learn from each other.
That makes it
very, very clear. Yeah. And maybe up to you, what if you look back at the past few months, what are you really very proud of, where you say, well, and it doesn't have to be something for yourself, but maybe you did with the team or what you saw happening, sticks out for you?
Yeah, so I'm really proud of actually hiring and starting up a new team. From India, which I, in the beginning, when I heard that I had to create a team in India, this was the first time for me. As a product owner, I've started new teams before. I did the hiring processes, but always with Dutch teams. So this was a challenge for me. I thought, okay, how can I sort of create this team spirit and keep people together? And I think I did well. We're four people now. Looking for a fifth. We have two men, two women, which I like. I like the fact that we're balanced in a diverse way. And like I said, people are starting to speak up and also take responsibility for their work, and that in a short period of time. And I'm really proud that I can achieve that, that I was able to achieve that together with my Scrum Master, I must say, in such a short period of time, because that was for me the biggest challenge starting up this team.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I think that people often underestimate how challenging it is, in different time zones, different culture, than still making one team and having a shared goal. That's
exactly.
That takes time.
So,
yeah.
But the fact that we are so open also means that we are able to discuss personal stuff and leave room for individuals, and I think we're doing that well. So people sort of feel safe in our team, which is very important to me.
Yeah, nice. Good to hear.
Yeah. Also to add, I like this work from home approach, right? You can work 4 weeks a day from home, and then one day you can choose to come to office if you think it's better to work with your team. I really like that approach as well, right? And of course, Rabobank try to provide all the necessary things needed to achieve it, like not only a power laptop, but also you can use the power laptop, not just using a virtual machine, but you can use your own power laptop, which is also of course secured, but you can try to do all those stuff from your home.
Yeah, and the tools that you can use, for example, we've now implemented GitHub Copilot, which is super cool. It's an AI that can help your IDE to propose code or write unit testing for you. So it's an exciting time to be an engineer at Rabobank, actually. So
nice. And you just mentioned working hybrid. What is it? Because in the past we always said if you're a team, you should sit around the same table. How has that then changed?
Of course. It's a mix, right? The feeling is always a mix. What I noticed is, working together always works, because as a team, sometimes you have to know the person. It's not just what we do, but also the people around us, right? So you should know a person, so then to avoid conflicts, basically, to have a happy team, you should have a good surrounding, good people around you, and basically that's I think it works better when you work at office. But once you go home, and also when you keep you the distance for a longer time, you also have this loss of personal touch, of your colleagues.
Yeah, disconnected.
Exactly. So that's why I think, one day you come to the office, be with your team, and of course go for a beer and,
That's important.
Exactly. We have Uncle Jim opposite our office, right? Never miss a chance.
Uncle Jim is a Rabobank thing, definitely.
I think that all the bars here are right.
Glad we're here, yeah, definitely.
Now we are promoting Uncle Jim here. Okay, anyways. Go to a bar, or of course, you know, I think it's always good to have that bond.
Yeah.
But then also have the flexibility to work from home, because I think I really like Rabobank in that way, right? You know, they give the flexibility, they trust their engineers, that they will get the job done, and then they give the freedom and the responsibility to the engineers that, you know, they know what they have to do.
Yeah.
So we are not going to keep a tap on you, but please.
And it works as well. I mean, just this morning I heard on the radio, they were saying that like 60% of all companies now force their employees to come to the office. I'm not sure if you heard that. 60%. And then I thought, I'm so glad that I'm working for Rabobank, because we have this flexibility. We are trusted, and we sometimes do even more from home than we would in the office, because
Absolutely. When
I come to the office, I'm always at the coffee machine, connecting, talking to people. I'm not very productive.
No.
So I think the balance is great.
Yeah, you talked about context switching. Well, at home, of course, you can be very, very concentrated, really do your deep work there, I can imagine.
And also the flexibility is provided by Rabobank, right? I mean, they provide you a monitor, they provide you a table, you know, they try to provide you everything needed to make you comfortable working from home, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's all nice.
And well, you have been in the Netherlands for a long period of time already. What is kind of... what's most fun to work here? Because, well, obviously you like it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have stayed with us.
Yeah, I mean, of course, I'm working for Rabobank 17 years now. I did try to leave Rabobank twice. but there is always some challenge at Rabobank, you know. Every time I think, you know what, maybe I should look for something else, you know, something new, something fresh, something even more challenging. But Rabobank always surprises me. You know, they will come up with something new. For example, Engineers Hub Now, you know, which made me to stay here, because I think it's really a challenging one, you know, making our engineers happy. Man, that's an ambitious goal, right? So how can we make it, you know? That always excites me, and you know, that's I think the most fun thing being at Rabobank, and also being at our area, because keeping engineers happy, I think it's an Himalayan task to achieve, and I like challenges. So
yeah, that sounds good. And I do recognize that every time you think, well, maybe I should look for something else, then there comes a challenge on your path. And
absolutely. I don't know if you remember, I think we even worked together in 2018 or 19.
Yeah.
It was an innovation. At Rabobank, we always do a lot of innovation, right? And one of the things is we were collaborating with Google. It's about Google Assistant.
I know,
I think it was 2018.
Yeah.
It was not released in the Netherlands yet. So it was a new thing. The whole assistant, you know, Google Assistant, Alexa, it's all new. And then we already started exploring even before, you know, it came to market. So we built our first Google Assistant feature, you know.
We were one of the first in the Netherlands with that. Huh?
Exactly, right? So such things always keep me, also proud, right? You know, you get these opportunities and you can try some new things. Rabobank tries to, you know, although it's a bank, it's always difficult to move fast as well, because, you know, we have to keep our application secure it's a bank. But still, we want to innovate. You know, it's a challenge within itself, right? But still, we try to do that and try to achieve it. That gives me all the energy, right? Also makes me fresh. There is always something for me to do and learn at Rabobank.
Good to hear. And especially the Google Assistant. And if you then hear Jaap talking about how we're going to use AI in the engineership, then what the technology has done in the past couple of years is amazing.
We came a long way.
I would also like to say how much I like working for Rabobank as well, because I've been working here, I think I'm in my 9th year now, which is the longest that I've worked for any company ever. So I used to work for companies like 3 to 5 years tops. But we're such a big corporate organization that it's very easy to jump onto the next topic. And there's always something happening. And our IT department is so big that there's just so much to do. There's so many cool topics that you can do. I don't think I'll ever get bored here. I don't see myself leaving Rabobank anytime soon.
No,
that's good to hear. And I really like the topic of today. So thank you very much for this interview. Well, looking very much forward to make the life of the engineers better in the near future.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I have all the trust in the two of you. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
In the next Tech Talks, we unravel another part of the IT universe of Rabobank. If you are curious about working at Rabobank IT, go to rabobank.jobs and find out how you can contribute to our mission of growing a better world together.